عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
A believer, a person who claims to believe in Allah the Almighty, should always bear this commandment of Allah the Almighty in mind, that He has created us for His worship. As God Almighty states, that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That is, and I have not created the jinn and the men, but that they may worship me. Furthermore, Allah the Almighty has also taught us the ways of worship, which consist of a practical part, that is, the physical movements, and it also includes words of supplication. And these can be termed as zikr. Salat includes both of these things. It consists of physical movements, as well as zikr and supplications. However, performing zikr and supplications and remembering Allah the Almighty apart from salat is also a duty of a believer. There are many prayers which Allah the Almighty has taught us in the Holy Quran with reference to various prophets, which we can recite during salat and which we can and should recite as zikr during our daily routines. People write in their letters to me that they are going through a certain difficulty or trouble and that I should suggest some prayer or zikr which they may repeat continuously, and thus their difficulties and their troubles may be removed. Usually, I reply to such individuals saying that they should pay attention to the 5 daily prayers and supplicate during prostrations and during salat in general, and thus seek help from Allah the Almighty. However, today I wish to tell about a zikr, i.e. a remembrance of Allah the Almighty, which is part of the practice of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and is composed of prayers revealed by Allah the Almighty, and which, if recited with attention and greatly pondering over its meanings, one attains the understanding of Tawheed, i.e. the oneness of Allah the Almighty, and on the other hand, one also enters into the protection and refuge of Allah the Almighty, and is saved from all kinds of evils. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, not only himself used to recite these verses and prayers regularly at night before going to sleep, but he also advised his companions, i.e. the Sahaba, to recite them as well. He mentioned the importance of these verses and the prayers at numerous occasions. He mentioned their benefits, and there is a particular narration about his personal conduct in this regard. The narration goes that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, whilst going to sleep, always used to recite Ayatul Kursi, Surah Ikhlas, i.e. Chapter Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah An-Nas 3 times, and blow into his hands. These are the last 3 surahs, i.e. the chapters of the Holy Quran, and Ayatul Kursi. Then he used to rub his hands over his body in a way that he would start from the head and go down as far as his hands could reach. And thus, something which he used to practice regularly came to be his sunnah, i.e. his established practice. Such a deed should be practiced by every Muslim. And we Ahmadis, whom the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has additionally instructed to act upon every aspect of the sunnah of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in this era, should make special efforts to act upon it. And in particular, during these times that we are going through, we should pay attention to supplications, salat and zikr, not only for the sake of our personal, spiritual and worldly needs, but also to safeguard against any fitna, i.e. discord and disturbances, or the evil caused by envious people or by the enemies, while deeming this to be an extremely important duty. The importance of this form of remembrance and these verses can also be found among some ahadith, i.e. the traditions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, which I would like to present before you. As far as the Ayatul Kursi is concerned, I have mentioned some aspects in regards to this 2 Fridays ago. However, today I will speak on the last 3 surahs, i.e. the chapters of the Holy Quran, with reference to the ahadith, i.e. sayings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, repeatedly urged his companions to recite these surahs, i.e. chapters of the Holy Quran. In a hadith, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrates in relation to reciting these last 3 chapters and then blowing into the hands and rubbing them upon the body, that every evening when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would lie on his bed, he would join his hands and then blow into them. And while doing so, he would recite the following chapters into them, i.e. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, that is, say he is Allah the One. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, that is, I seek refuge in the Lord of the Dawn. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, that is, I seek refuge in the Lord of Mankind. Following this, i.e. after reciting these 3 chapters, he would rub his hands upon his body, and he would pass his hands over his head and face to the remaining part of his body, as far as his hands reached, and he would repeat this 3 times. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, adopted this practice with such regularity that during his last illness, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha would personally recite these prayers and blow them into his hands and rub his own hands across his body. Hence, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrates that whenever the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, fell ill, he would recite these chapters of seeking refuge and then blow them upon his body. She relates that when his illness intensified, I would recite these chapters for him and rub his hands across his body with the intention of receiving their blessings. Thus, for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, to think of this was most certainly as a result of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, being very regular in this, and that he vividly manifested the significance of his blessings to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Furthermore, how did the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, make his companions realize the significance of the blessings of these chapters? In relation to this, Hazrat Uqba bin Amin narrates that I met the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet stepped forward, took hold of my hand and said that, O Uqba bin Amir, should I not inform you of the three best chapters that were revealed among the Torah, the Gospels, the Zabur and the Holy Quran? I replied, why not? May Allah enable my life to be sacrificed for your sake. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, recited that Qul huwallahu ahad, that is, say he is Allah the One, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, that is, say I seek refuge in the Lord of the Dawn, and Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, that is, say I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind. He then further stated that, O Uqba, do not forget them, and do not let a night go by until you have recited them. Uqba says that ever since the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that you should not forget them, I have not forgotten them, and I did not let a single night go by where I had not recited them. Thus, the guidance of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to not forget them, and to not let a single night go by until they had been recited, manifests the regularity with which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, himself recited these chapters. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was the person who obeyed and complied with the instructions and commandments of Allah the Almighty the most. And only then did he guide others to do the same. Furthermore, in relation to Surah Al-Ikhlas, i.e. the chapter which begins with Qul huwallahu ahad, that is, say he is Allah the One, Hazrat Sayyid Khudri narrates that a person heard another person reciting Qul huwallahu ahad and was repeating this several times. The following morning, he went to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and told him everything. And it appeared as if he considered that individual to be inferior or lower in status, and mentioned this in the form of a complaint. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that I swear by that being in whose hands lays my life, that this is equivalent to a third of the Holy Quran. In relation to this, Hazrat Sayyid Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, elaborates upon this on one occasion and stated that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said to his companions, that is, any of you incapable of reciting a third of the Holy Quran in one night? This matter seemed rather impossible to the companions, as they said that, O Prophet of God, who amongst us is capable of doing so? In other words, to recite a third of the Quran in one night. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that Allahul Wahidus Samad, in other words, Surah Al-Ikhlas, is equivalent to one third of the Holy Quran. Sahih Muslim has recorded a hadith, i.e. a tradition, in relation to Surah Al-Ikhlas being equivalent to one third of the Quran. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that, gather together and I will recite to you one third of the Holy Quran. Everyone was gathered together and requested to come to the mosque. Hence people gathered together. And following this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stepped outside of his home into the mosque and recited Qul huwallahu ahad, that is, say he is Allah the One. After doing so, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stepped inside his home again. The companions say that someone from among them stated that, I believe that something has been revealed from the heaven. In other words, a revelation has been received, due to which the Holy Prophet has entered his home. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stepped outside once again and stated that I told you that I would recite to you a third of the Holy Quran. Now listen carefully. This Surah Al-Ikhlas is equivalent to one third of the Holy Quran. However, why did the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, declare this to be one third of the Holy Quran? The reason for this is that Allah the Almighty revealed the Holy Quran in order to prove and establish the unity of God. Thus, the unity of God has been mentioned very clearly and comprehensively in this particular chapter. And so, upon reflecting on its words and acting in accordance with them, a person can truly act upon the unity of God. Furthermore, by reciting the Holy Quran with the understanding of this being the word of the one God, as well as trying to act in accordance with it, he will, in other words, be one to understand the true unity of God and be firmly established upon this belief. Moreover, he will also be enabled to completely act in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Quran. Therefore, a person should not merely believe that since I have recited Surah Al-Ikhlas, i.e. the chapter Surah Al-Ikhlas, I have recited a third of the Holy Quran. In fact, the meaning of this is that you should recite it, be established upon the unity of God, and act in accordance with it. Similarly, in some other narrations, it is mentioned that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated in relation to certain verses that such and such parts are each equivalent to a quarter of the Holy Quran. Therefore, if one takes this literally, then people will recite these few verses of the Holy Quran and claim that they have completed the entire Quran. Whereas, by doing so, the objective of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was to tell people that these are such aspects which you should act upon. Following this, you should reflect upon the Holy Quran and try to establish the unity of God. Only then will you be one to truly recite the Holy Quran. What is the Holy Quran? The teachings of the Holy Quran are there for the very establishment of the unity of God, for the sake of which every person should render his efforts as well as offer supplications. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha relates in one narration that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, appointed an individual as the leader of an expedition and sent him to one of the battles. This person would lead his companions into prayer and would finish the recitation with Qul Huwallahu Ahad. When the companions returned, they mentioned this to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, upon which he told them to ask him why he did so. And so, when the companions asked him, he said that I do so as this is an attribute of the gracious God. This is the reason I enjoy to recite it. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that you should inform him that Allah the Almighty also loves him. Then, in Bukhari, there is a narration by Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu regarding this. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, there was a man from amongst the Ansar who would lead prayers in the Quba Mosque. And whenever he would recite from any of the chapters of the Holy Quran while leading prayers, he would begin by reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas, i.e. Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And after reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas, he would recite another surah. And this was his practice in every rakat, i.e. every unit of prayer. His companions spoke to him about this and said, you start with the recitation of Surah Al-Ikhlas, then it does not seem sufficient for you, so you recite another surah along with Surah Al-Ikhlas. So you should either recite Surah Al-Ikhlas or recite something else. However, he responded that I will never stop reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas. If you prefer that I lead you in prayers in this manner, then I will be your imam. Otherwise, I will leave you, meaning that I will stop being your imam, but I will not stop reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas. They considered him the best among them, and therefore they did not consider anyone else worthy of becoming their imam but him. And so later, when they met the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, they informed him regarding this matter. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, inquired from that person that what prevents you from doing what your companions ask of you? That is, to stop reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas, or to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas only, and not to recite any other chapter afterwards. So what is the reason for reciting them together? And why did you make it incumbent upon yourself to recite this surah in each unit of prayer, i.e. rakat? He responded by saying that this surah is very dear to me. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, your love for this surah has made you enter paradise. Then Hazrat Abi bin Ka'ab narrates, when the idolaters asked the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that tell us about the ancestry of your Lord. As a response to this, Allah the Almighty revealed Surah Al-Ikhlas. Therefore, Samad is the one who is not a father to anyone, and no one is his father, because there isn't anything that has been created but will not perish, and there isn't anything that will perish, but it definitely has a successor. Whereas Allah the Almighty will neither perish, nor does he have a successor. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, that is, there is nothing like him. In another place, we find a narration by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu about this. He states, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, people question each other to the extent that Allah the Almighty has created something, then who created Allah the Almighty? These questions were raised during the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and today as well. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to this, that when you come across such people, recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ until you have recited this entire surah, i.e. chapter. In other words, recite the entire surah Al-Ikhlas and ponder over its meaning. And you will realize that there is nothing that created God Almighty, and he has always existed and will remain till eternity. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, then they should seek refuge with Allah from Satan, so he is not able to cause them any harm. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, I was with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a person reciting قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, I say he is Allah the One. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then stated that it has been assigned. I inquired, what has been assigned? And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, heaven has been assigned for this person because of the sincerity he is reciting this with. Hazrat Suhail bin Saad relates, once a man came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and complained about his poverty. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, whenever you enter your home, say, Assalamu alaikum, I peace be upon you, if someone is inside. And if no one is there, then still send greetings of peace and security upon yourself by saying, Assalamu alaikum, and you will receive the greetings of peace. And then recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ once. And so this person followed these instructions, and Allah the Almighty increased his livelihood so much that even his neighbors benefited from his income. Meaning, there was a time when he was surviving on a very meager income and almost starving, but later on Allah the Almighty blessed his income so much that he was able to help his neighbors. Therefore, when a person acquires the knowledge of the unity of God and acts upon it, and recognizes that God Almighty possesses all the powers, then Allah the Almighty blesses such a person immensely. Allah the Almighty states that he grants provision for the righteous through means that are beyond the imagination. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that a person came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and said, I am fond of Surah Al-Ikhlas. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, responded, that your love for this surah, i.e. this chapter, will lead you to paradise. Then Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that those who recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 50 times daily will be called from their graves on the Day of Judgment and they will be instructed to stand up and enter paradise. Then there is a narration by Ibn Delmi, who was the son of Najashi's sister, and he also used to serve the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The narration states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, "Whoever recited Surah Al-Ikhlas 100 times in prayer or otherwise, Allah the Almighty has made it incumbent upon himself to release them from the hellfire." Thus, this is the importance of Surah Al-Ikhlas. And when we recite this in the evenings, we should keep the oneness of God Almighty in mind and then recite it. When we consider that God Almighty is Ahad, i.e. one, at the same time, we should ponder over the status and rank of Him being Samad. Samad means that being that is not dependent upon anyone, and nor will it ever cease to exist or perish. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has explained this matter in the following manner. He states, "Samad means that with the exception of Him, i.e. Allah the Almighty, all things are mortal and perishable. This means that all things that can be created and are in fact created will eventually finish and terminate. However, the being of God Almighty is Samad. People think that Samad means self-sufficient. His self-sufficiency is such that he will never perish, and nor will he ever cease to exist. And on top of that, nothing like him can ever be created. Thus, this is the nature of our God, who has always existed and will live forever." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, "With respect to God Almighty's being, His attributes and His grandeur, He is one and has no equal. Everyone is dependent upon Him, even the minutest form of life. He is the fountainhead of blessings for all things." In other words, God Almighty alone provides benefit and blessings to all things on earth. All springs of goodness gush forth from His existence, and He Himself does not require any blessing. This means that there is nothing that can be of benefit to Him. He alone provides blessings to the world. He is not the son of anyone, and nor the father of any being. And how can He be, as there is none like unto Him? The Holy Quran repeatedly mentions the excellences and grandeur of God, and through this it draws the attention of the people to the fact that God Almighty is the one to whom our hearts are ever inclined, and He is not an entity that is lifeless, weak, of little compassion or power. Regarding the revelation of Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, Hazrat Uqba bin Amir relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that today certain verses have been revealed, the likes of which have never been witnessed before. They are قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, that is, say, He is Allah the One. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the Dawn. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, that say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind. In addition to this, in the Ahadith, there is a narration regarding the importance of reciting the three قُلْ, i.e. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir Juhani narrates, "During the journey to one of the battles, I was holding the reins to the Holy Prophet's mount. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, 'O Uqba, recite.' I turned towards the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to listen to what I should recite. Then after a short while, he said again, 'O Uqba, recite.' Again I listened out for what I should recite. When he said the same thing the third time, I inquired as to what I should recite. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated the verse قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. He then recited it fully. He then recited قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ fully, and I recited it after him. After this, he recited the verse قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and I recited after him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then stated, "These verses are such that no person has before now ever received the protection of God through them." Which means, these verses are a prayer of such magnitude that through them one falls under the protection of God Almighty, and neither does he go to waste, and remains free from all evil. And there is no better way than this to seek the protection of God Almighty. In the Ahadith, there are narrations in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has stated that there is no better way to seek the protection of Allah the Almighty other than reciting these verses. In relation to Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas, Hazrat Uqba bin Amir relates, I was holding the reins to the mount of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, on the way to one of the battles. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, O Uqba, shall I inform you of two chapters that, if recited, will prove to be extremely useful and beneficial? I replied, Most certainly, O Messenger of Allah. To this the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that they are قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Then when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stopped to observe the morning prayer, he recited these very chapters in the prayer. After completing the prayers, he turned to me and asked, O Uqba, how does this fare? Perhaps it was due to the fact that he had recited very short chapters. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said that these contain everything. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would seek protection from the evil eye of men and jinn. And when the Muawwizatain, i.e. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas were revealed, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, adopted these prayers and left all others. In relation to this matter, he stopped all preceding prayers and then would recite these. Hazrat Ibn Abbas relates on account of Ibn Abbas that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, once said to him that, O Ibn Abbas, should I not tell you the best words that can be recited for ta'awuz, i.e. the best words to seek God Almighty's protection by those wishing to seek shelter? I replied that, O Messenger of Allah, do inform me. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the chapters are Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas. Furthermore, regarding the importance of the last two chapters of the Holy Quran, one companion states, we once accompanied the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, on one of his journeys. As there were few mounts that could be used, we took turns to ride. On one occasion, it was mine and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's, turn to dismount. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, approached me and placing his hand on my shoulder, he said, recite A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq. I recited these words, after which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, continued reciting the remaining part of the chapter, and I also repeated after him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then asked me to recite A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas in a similar manner, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said that when you offer your prayers, you should recite these two chapters. Uqba bin Amir Juhni relates, I was once accompanying the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in one of his travels, and the time of dawn appeared. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, called the azan and the iqamat, and then stood me to his right, and recited the last two chapters of the Holy Quran. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, finished from the prayer, he said, What did you learn from this? This is similar to the previous narration. I replied that I have observed you, O Messenger of Allah. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, Then recite these two chapters when you sleep and whenever you wake up. Thus, such is the importance of these two chapters, and it is even more significant to recite them in this day and age, in an individual capacity, in order to progress in our spirituality and from the onslaughts of Satan, and also to seek protection on a Jamaat level from the evil ploys hatched against it. Nowadays, on the one hand, the anti-Islam powers are very cunningly making efforts, and on the other hand, the so-called Muslim scholars and leaders have created such an atmosphere which has given rise to chaos and disorder. The Muslim scholars are strengthening the satanic forces and giving them more opportunities by fueling the general Muslims' opposition against the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. Similarly, atheism is also on the rise. And elaborating on Surah Al-Falaq, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam states, He states, you who shall be the target of the enemies of the promised Messiah, should recite the prayer seeking refuge with God Almighty from the evil of mankind, from its internal and external evils, from the Lord of Dawn. In other words, He is the one from whom light originates, and He has complete control over it. This light is a spiritual light which has emerged with the advent of the promised Messiah. And you should pray that I also seek refuge with God from the evil of the night, which is the darkness due to the rejection of the promised Messiah. These people consist of those who oppose Islam and raise allegations against its teachings, and also those clerics of Islam who wish to not let go of their error and thus have occupied themselves in fueling the public's opposition against the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the clerics and scholars of Pakistan are at the forefront in this regard. Therefore, in these circumstances, the Ahmadis of Pakistan should in particular seek to continue this sunnah, i.e. tradition of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, in Surah Al-Falaq, where it states, the evil of the night when it overspreads is in fact a prayer to seek protection from the evil of the night. Ghasik means night, and waqab means when night and darkness has overspread. The evil of the night when it overspreads is in fact the evil of the darkness due to the rejection of the promised Messiah, from which protection has been sought. It is a great pity on the state of the Muslims, as God Almighty has taught them a prayer, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has also stated that after the period of light, when darkness overcomes, one should regularly recite these prayers in order to remain established on Tawheed, i.e. the oneness of Allah the Almighty, and also to be saved from the evil of the night. However, the Muslims have neglected this, and many Muslims are increasingly being immersed in these evils. Today, it is owing to this that the non-Muslims have the opportunity to raise allegations against the Muslims. However, the current state of the Muslims is drawing our attention towards greatly pondering over the recitation of these chapters, so that we can be saved from this darkness. مِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدِ, meaning, and from the evil of those who blow into knots to undo them, is also a prayer to be protected from the evil of those who blow into knots. In other words, from those people who, in their efforts to oppose Islam and Ahmadiyyat, very shrewdly create malice and enmity in the hearts of people. And as I mentioned, that both non-Muslims and the so-called scholars are a part of this. On the one hand, the non-Muslims, owing to their opposition to Islam, are making their efforts against it, while on the other hand, the Muslims, in the name of religion, are inciting people to oppose the one who has been sent by God Almighty. Thus, both are included amongst those regarding whom it has been stated that وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدِ, that is, and from the evil of those who blow into knots to undo them. Then, in Surah An-Nas, it mentions the attributes of God Almighty being the Lord, the King, and the one who is truly worthy of worship. After mentioning these, it seeks refuge with God from the evil ploys of Satan. In this day and age, atheism and materialism is on the rise. And materialism has such a strong influence on society that some youth become swayed by it. Therefore, when we recite these prayers and blow on ourselves, we should also blow on our children, so that our children are also protected from all kinds of evil, and they remain established on faith and develop a true comprehension of the oneness of Allah the Almighty. May God Almighty enable all of us to understand the subject matter of these chapters and follow the example of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. May we understand the true meaning of the oneness of God Almighty, and may we never prostrate before anyone besides him, and nor deem anyone else to be the fountainhead of all powers. Not only in our hearts, but through every action of ours, we should demonstrate that it is God alone who is the fountainhead of all powers. He is the source of all light and grants every kind of grace. Instead of relying on other people, we should only prostrate before God Almighty in order to seek protection from the evil of mankind. We should pray that may God Almighty enable us to always remain established on the spiritual light we have received after accepting the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, which is in fact a reflection of the true light that emanates from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. May we never become those who fall astray in darkness, and may we always remain attached with Khilafat, which is among the rewards of God Almighty. May God Almighty protect us from every kind of evil that can cause us harm, be it a religious evil or a worldly evil. May God Almighty protect us from the evil of the envier when he envies, and from him causing us any harm. May we always believe God Almighty to be our Lord and Provider and remain in his protection. May we believe God Almighty to be the greatest of all kings and have firm belief in his kingship. And may we fulfill the due rights of the one who is truly worthy of worship and come into his protection at all times. May we remain in his protection from the evil of those who conspire to hatch evil ploys, and may we seek to purify also our own hearts from creating any discord, and for this we should continue to seek God Almighty's protection. May God Almighty enable us to do this, and enable us to regularly recite these verses before sleeping and blowing on ourselves, in accordance to the instruction of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. May God Almighty grant us the ability to do so.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.